ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 18 ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಸನ್ಯಾಸ ಯೋಗಃ. ಯಯಾ ಸ್ವಪ್ನಂ ಭಯಂ ಶೋಕಂ ವಿಷಾದಂ ಮದಮೇವ ಚ ನ ವಿಮುಂಚತಿ ದುರ್ಮೇಧಾಃ ಧೃತಿಸ್ಸ ಪಾರ್ಥ ತಾಮಸಿ. ಸೊ ವಿತ್ ದಿ 35th ಶ್ಲೋಕ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಸಾ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ವೆಬಿನಾರ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಟಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ 3 ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬುದ್ಧಿ and 3 types of dhriti also, which he actually promised in the 29th shloka, if you remember. Buddher bedam dhritischaivam gunatas trividam shrunu prochyamanam aseshena prithaktvena dhananjaya. He said, I will talk about 3 types of buddhi and 3 types of dhriti. Dhriti means steadfastness. We already told that. So he said in the 29th shloka, and he talked in shlokas 30 to 35, 6 shlokas. So, 5 topics have been already talked about. Previously, he talked about Jnanam, Karma and Karta. So, which he said in the 19th shloka, where he said, Jnanam, Karma cha, Karta cha, Tridhaiva, Guna Bedataha. So, Jnanam, Karma, Karta, Buddhi and Dhriti. 5 topics have been talked about so far. Now, Krishna is going to talk about the last topic of the series, that is 3 types of Sukha. With this, all 6 topics would be over. And if we take, for example, sannyasa, which was the first topic of this chapter, so totally it will be 7. So Krishna started with sannyasa, then jnanam, karma, karta, buddhi, dhriti, and now the last topic, namely sukha. So Krishna introduces in the shloka, in the next shloka, shloka 36, that topic that we will read. ಸುಖಂ ಫಿದಾನೀಂ ತ್ರಿವಿಧಂ ಶೃಣು ಮೇ ಭರತರ್ಷಭ ಅಭ್ಯಾಸಾದ್ರಮತೆ ಯತ್ರ ದುಃಖಾಂತಂಚ ನಿಗಚ್ಛತಿ. ಸೊ ಇದಾನೀಂ ತ್ರಿವಿಧಂ ಸುಖಂ ಮೇ ಶೃಣು. ನೌ ಮೇ ಯು ಲಿಸನ್ ಟು 3 ಟೈಪ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸುಖಂ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಮೀ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಆನ್ ದಿ ಗುಣಾಸ್. ಎಗೈನ್, that Krishna does not mention here, we have to understand. So, gunataha trividam, which we call as sattvika sukham, rajasa sukham and tamasa sukham. So, how do people revel in the 3 types of pleasures? Krishna says here, abhyasat ramate, because of practice, abhyasa, a person gets used to one type of pleasure right from birth. There is an inclination for sattvikam, rajasam or tamasam type of pleasure. Not only that, once a person gets into one type of pleasure, then naturally the mind will get used to that type of pleasure next time also. The mind craves for similar pleasure. That's the nature of mind. So, yata, yatra, yasmin sukhe. So, abhyasaha means here avrittihi, repetition. Abhyasa. So, yatra means yasmin sukhe. So, sattvike, rajase, tamaseva. A person gets involved because of practice. And when he is used to one type of pleasure, the other one he cannot enjoy because he is used to one type of pleasure only. So, once he is used to, for example, the grossest sense pleasures, he cannot appreciate a nice art, a classical music or a wonderful poetry. Because that ananda is a little bit subtler and higher than the grass ananda. And once he is used to these types of sukham, which are sensitive and subtle, he cannot come down to grass pleasures at all, sensual, physical, animalistic pleasures. So thus, it is all developed by abhyasa or practice. That does not mean that a person cannot change. We have to be careful. But once abhyasa comes, it becomes instinctive, it becomes habitual. Turning the mind will take lot of effort because this is also a type of addiction only. Not only he revels in them, dukkantancha nigacchati. Because of this pleasure, he finds an end to his sorrow, to his dukkham. Antam means end, dukkham means pain. So nigacchati, he attains to, or nischayena gachyati, certainly. After all, different types of pleasures have got only one aim anyway. What is that? He wants to get out of dukkham. He wants to get out of pain. Pain need not be physical pain alone. It may be mental pain. It can be anxiety. It could be tension. Therefore, he wants entertainment. And through these pleasures, he finds the end of pain, dukkantam. So the question is what? What are these types of pleasures? And Krishna enumerates them in the following three shlokas, one for sattva guna, one for rajo guna, and another for tamo guna. Shloka 37.
Yattadagre vishamiva pariname mrutopamam tatsukam satvikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam.
So Krishna here defines sattvikam sukham. What is that? He says, yatu sukham agre visham iva bhavati. That pleasure, yat sukham, which appears to be poison, visham, painful, difficult in the beginning. But pariname amrutopamam, but which is like amrutam, nectar, consequently later. Tat sukham sattvikam proktam. Such a pleasure is said to be sattvic pleasure. So, a pleasure which is painful in the beginning, but which is infinitely great in later times, that is called sattvic pleasure. So, what is the idea? To experience sattvic sukham, our mind and intellect have to be brought to a higher plane. Subtle pleasure requires subtle instruments. At the time of birth, most of us have got only a tamasic mind. For tamasic pleasure, no training is necessary. Everybody is qualified for tamasic pleasure right from birth. Even animals have that pleasure. Food, sleep, physical urge, all that. But to enjoy poetry, music, dance, we don't have musical sense from the beginning. Unless we are born in such a family surrounded by music all the time, lot of people don't know what is Shruti at all. So, it requires some training to have an ear for music. Once I have got that mental training, then the ananda that the music can give is far greater than, for example, an ice cream ananda. Similarly, appreciation of culture, literature, Vedanta, we have to be sattvic. And once training is there, the pleasure is infinite in those areas. For example, we envy a great musician. To listen to a couple of hours of music, I have to stand in line, get tickets, pay money, all that I should do. Whereas he can enjoy it free all the time, the musician. But what is the training required for that? So much. And in the case of Brahmananda, the mind requires a different type of training. Viveka, Vairagyam, which are all very difficult to acquire. We will say Brahmananda is not required. I will rather choose the family ananda than Brahmananda because they are so tough to practice. Samadhi, Shatka Sampatti, mind control, sense control, all are painful to practice. That means what? We have to put forth lot of effort. But it becomes very enjoyable once the effort is put. Therefore, yatu sukham agre vishamiva. Because it is raising the mind from tamo level to sattva level. Tat sukham, sattvikam, proktam. And how does that ananda come? Krishna says, atma buddhi prasadajam. That is born out of tranquility. Prasada means tranquility here. Which is born out of what? Atma buddhi. Shankaracharya actually, he gives two meanings for that. One is atma buddhi is self-knowledge. So, atma buddhi prasada means tranquility born out of atma jnanam. And jam means what? Pleasure born out of. The pleasure born out of tranquility, which is born out of self-knowledge. So, from atma buddhi prasada, from atma buddhi prasada, from prasada to sukham. This is the first meaning. And the second meaning is a simpler meaning actually, where he takes atma as one's own. And buddhi means intellect or mind. So in this context, we cannot have self-knowledge then, but it is born out of the tranquility of one's own mind, one's own buddhi. So the second one seems to be a little bit better because if you say born out of mental tranquility, we can include Atma-Jnana Ananda also. And we can include Dharma Ananda also. So Dharmic Sukham also is Sattvic Sukham only. సో విచ్ ఇస్ అ సుఖం బార్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ వాల్యూస్ వైరాగ్యం కంపాషన్ అండ్ ఆల్ దోస్. శ్లోక 38.
విషయేంద్రియ సంయోగాత్ ఎత్తదగ్రే మృతోపమం పరిణామే విషమివ తత్సుఖం రాజసంస్మృతం.
సో ఇన్ ది శ్లోక రాజసిక్ ప్లెషర్ ఈస్ డిఫైన్డ్. కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ది ఆపోజిట్ ఆఫ్ సాత్విక్ ప్లెషర్. ఇన్ సాత్విక్ ప్లెషర్ ట్రైనింగ్ రిక్వైర్స్ హార్డ్ వర్క్, ఇట్స్ రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ రిజల్ట్ ఇస్ హ్యాపీనెస్. బట్ ఇన్ రాజసిక్ ప్లెషర్ ఇన్ ది బిగినింగ్ ప్లెషర్ ఇస్ గ్రేట్ బట్ ద కాన్సిక్వెన్స్ ఇస్ పెయిన్ఫుల్. ఎ ప్లెషర్ విచ్ సీమ్స్ టు బి గుడ్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ బట్ టర్న్స్ అవుట్ టు బి పెయిన్ఫుల్ లేటర్. యత్ సుఖం అగ్రే అమృతోపమం, దాట్ ప్లెషర్ విచ్ ఇస్ లైక్ అమృతం ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్ బట్ పరిణామే విషమివ విచ్ ఇస్ లైక్ పాయిసన్ మీన్స్ పెయిన్ఫుల్ లేటర్. అండ్ హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ బాన్? ద ప్రీవియస్ వన్ సాత్వికం సుఖం ఇస్ బాన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మబుద్ధి ప్రసాద, దట్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ ఇస్ బాన్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రాంక్విలిటీ ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్. బట్ ద రాజసిక్ ప్లెషర్ ఇస్ బాన్ వేర్? హౌ ఇట్ ఇస్ బాన్? విషయ ఇంద్రియ సంయోగాత్, బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది కాంటాక్ట్ బిట్వీన్ విషయాస్ ద సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ అండ్ ఇంద్రియాస్ ద సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. So the ears, they constantly listen to varieties of sound. Eyes, they get used to video, TV and all that. Similarly, tongue constantly eats whatever it likes to eat. So because of the contact of sense organs and sense objects, as Krishna said actually in the fifth chapter, yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukkayonaya evacha adyantavanta kaunteya nateshuramate budaha. The enjoyments that are born out of contacts are only generators of pain. And also in the second chapter he said, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shitoshta sukha dukkha daha. And in also Kathopanishad, Nachiketa said, all those who were in the Kathopanishad lectures, Shobhava martyasya yatantakaitatim sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. So the contact bond pleasures makes one addicted to them. And in addiction, what is the problem? We have to indulge in more for getting same degree of pleasure later. So for some pleasure, previously if we have to indulge for 5 minutes, to get the same degree of pleasure, we will require more indulgence itself. And then again, it becomes more and more. Then a time comes when the indulgence becomes excessive, which means our system cannot stand it. So Nachiketa said, Sarva indriyanam jarayanti. TV spoils the eyes, rock music hurts the ears, all that. So it is pariname vishopamam. And above all, what is the greatest danger in that? The object being perishable, when the object goes away, the dukkham will be even more. Separation will be more painful. Such a one is rajasam. So any relationship bond sukham is rajasam. Need not be objects alone. It can be people's contacts. That is, attachment to people also comes under rajasic sukham only. I feel fine when those people are around. I feel miserable when they are not around. All are rajasic sukham. So vairagyam bond pleasure comes under sattvikam. And raga bond pleasure comes under rajasam. Then what is tamasic pleasure? Given in the next shloka, shloka 39. Yadagre chanubande cha sukham mohanam atmanaha nidralasya pramadottam tattamasam udahritam. Here tamasic sukham, that is being defined. And what is that? Yathu sukham agre anubande cha mohanam. Whichever pleasure that deludes the mind. Mohanam means delusion, deludes the mind. So when agre anubandecha, both in the beginning and at the end, or consequently or later, that sukham is the tamasic sukham. Here the word atmanaha is there, which means mind and not sachidananda atma. We have to be careful. So atmanaha mohanam means manasaha mohanam. So the feelings will be nice and comfortable. He will not try to improve himself to enjoy sattvic pleasure at all.
He does not want to work hard to get material pleasures either. Because remember, Rajasic Sukham requires working for earning. He is extrovert, outgoing to procure those pleasures. A sattvic person, he tries to make his mind tranquil, which requires its own effort. But the tamasic person neither works for the sattvic sukham nor for the rajasic sukham. He enjoys doing nothing. So, nidra alasya pramada uttam. Born out of, uttam means born out of, a pleasure born out of nidra, sleeping. And even if he wakes up, he sleeps only all the time. Even if he wakes up, practically no difference. Alasyam means laziness, always overcome by laziness. So maximum activity is from bedroom to kitchen only for eating something and again back to bedroom to sleep. Alasya. And even those few little things he does is pramada, is carelessness, negligence, loose-minded. So, because of this carelessness, sleep, laziness, etc., he remains enveloped in tamas. And there also some sukham is there. There also there is some sukham. That is why during sleep also, a person enjoys ananda. But that ananda is tamasic ananda. We need tamasic ananda also. Otherwise, we can never sleep. If we don't sleep, it's a problem also. So, nidralasya pramadottam. That is tamasam udahritam. Such a pleasure is called tamasic pleasure. So with this, Krishna has concluded the topic of sukham. So all the seven topics are discussed. And what are those? Sannyasa topic, jnanam, karma, karta, buddhi, triti, and finally sukham. Now Krishna makes a general conclusion of these topics in the next shloka, shloka 40, we'll read. न तदस्ति पृथिव्यां वा दिवि देवेषु वा पुनः सत्वं प्रकृतिजैर्मुक्तं यथेभिस्यात्रिभिर्गुणैः. सो हैविंग डिवाइडेड इंटू थ्री सम ऑफ द आइटम्स इन कंक्लूशन नाउ कृष्णा सेज अर्जुन इन फैक्ट एवरीथिंग इन क्रिएशन कैन बी डिवाइडेड इंटू वन ऑफ दीज थ्री कैटगोरीज. There is nothing in the world which does not come under these three gunas. Why? The reason is very simple. Because the whole creation is born out of what? Prakriti. Of course, blessed by Purusha or Chaitanyam, that we have to understand, that we know. So, blessed by the Chaitanyam, the Prakriti alone gets modified to become the creation. And therefore, everything will have the nature of Prakriti. Prakriti is Jadam. World is also Jadam. Prakriti has three gunas. World also will have three gunas. Prakriti is Sattvikam. The world is, Prakriti is Savikaram. And the world also will be Savikaram. Prakriti is Savikalpam. World also is Savikalpam. Because the rule is what? Karana gunaha karye anuvartante. Whatever is in the cause, they will be in the karyam. Whatever attributes are there in the karana, the same will be in the karyam, the effect. So, karanam prakriti has three gunas. Therefore, karya prapancha, the universe also will have three gunas. Then what is the only difference? The difference is the proportion of the three gunas will vary from one thing to the other. In the inert matter, tamo guna is the maximum. From that, when we come to plant, etc., a little bit of sattva, rajaguna, they come. But plants are also almost similar to inert things only. From plant onwards, animals, gradually sattva, rajagunas increase. And there also we find gradation. Some animals are more intelligent. And they say certain types of monkeys, they do everything that a human being can do. That is why we say we are born out of monkeys also. Advanced monkeys we are, perhaps. And when we come to human beings, you find sattva rajo gunas have increased. And even among humans, we have gradation. Some are embodiment of tamas. Some are rajas. Some are sattva guna. So, Krishna tells, there is nothing in the creation which is free from all these three gunas. Prakriti jaihi gunaihi muktam sattvam nasti. Any entity, anything, Here, we have to carefully note, the word sattvam of the second line does not mean sattva guna. We have to be careful. It's not sattva guna. It means anything or any being, living or non-living. Thus, na vidyate, there is no single entity in the world which is prakriti jaihi gunaihi muktam, which is free from the hold of the three gunas, tribihi gunaihi. And which type of three gunas? Prakriti jaihi, born out of prakriti. Okay, then we may ask the question, where it is not there? If it is there everywhere, if you say where it is not there, perhaps in prithivi is not there, maybe in swargaloka there may be people, we are free from the three gunas, possibly. In prithivi it may not be there, but in swargaloka they may be. Krishna says, no, you can go anywhere, all the three gunas will be there everywhere. Maybe the devas may have better sattva guna, but they also come under these three categories. Even if you go to Brahmaloka, there also you will have the three gunas. In the Visishtadvaita philosophy, moksha is going to Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntham also, the Mukta Purusha will have Shariram. And they will see Mahavishnu and pleasures will be there. And they will be liberated in Vaikuntham. And then the Advaita, he will argue, if you go to Vaikuntha Loka also and have a Shariram there, then will you not have again the three gunas? For that they say, in Vaikuntha, the body is not made up of three gunas. It is a aprakrita shariram, not coming out of prakriti. Aprakrita shariram means not born out of prakriti. For that the Advaitin, he will answer, no, Krishna has very clearly said that there is nothing which is free from the hold of three gunas. So if there is a Vaikuntha Loka, if there is a Kailasa Loka, where the bhaktas are there with bodies, there also they will have the three gunas. And there also better liberated and less liberated problems will be there. So we don't accept those kind of view that in Kailasa or in Vaikuntha or in Satyaloka, there is no gunas at all. So Krishna says, Prithivyam va nasti, Satya vastu is not there on the earth or punaha again. Divi deveshuva, even among the gods in the heavens also, there is no one who is free from these three gunas. So the idea is what? I have chosen only seven topics. Don't conclude that only these seven alone can be divided into three. It is not so. Anything can be divided into these three groups. And having made this general conclusion, now Krishna, he enters into a similar division among human beings also. Shloka 41. Brahmana kshatriya visham shudranam cha parantapam karmani pravibhaktani swabhava prabhavair gunaihi. So here Krishna talks about the division of human beings based on three gunas. And the development will be what? Having talked about different varieties of human beings, he will talk about the differences in their swadharma. Because swadharma is based on the guna personality only. And then from swadharma, once again, Krishna will enter into the sadhanas, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnanam, and conclude the Gita in the 18th chapter. So that is how the development is going to be. So the division of human beings, swadharma, then karma yoga, bhakti, jnanam, all those topics. So it is a secondary summary, as it were. All the ideas he will quickly pass through, even though they are all discussed in detail elsewhere earlier. For that, the preparation is the division of human beings. But here, there is a small difference we should note, because in the previous cases, based on the three gunas, we divided everything into three categories. But in the case of the human beings, the division will be four based on three gunas. And what are the four divisions? Krishna does not elaborately discuss here. We did discuss this long before in the fourth chapter, if you remember. There we said, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srittam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. So the fourfold divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So Chaturvarnyam Maya Srittam. And what are the gunas in the four of them? We don't have to discuss elaborately here. We can refer back to the notes or recordings that we have got in the fourth chapter. We will just remind ourselves the main points here. Brahmana has got sattva guna at the top, Rajoguna next, and Tamoguna the least. This is what is expected. So this is SRT, Sattva, Rajo and Tamoguna in that order. Such a person is called a Guna Brahmanaha. Be careful, it is not Janma Brahmana, not by somebody by birth. This is Guna Brahmana, who has acquired these qualities, who is sattvic in predominantly sattvic. So we are not bothered about his birth at all. He may be born a Shudra or an American or any other, but it doesn't matter, where there is no caste or any of those things. Even in America, Russia, Japan, if there is a person with a sattvic value, he is called a Guna Brahmana only. Then who is a Kshatriya? A Kshatriya is one who has Rajoguna as the highest. Then Sattva Guna and Tamoguna. So it is Rajoguna R, Sattva Guna S and Tamoguna T. So RST. So SRT and then RST. Because of Rajoguna, he will be highly active person, but supported by Sattva Guna. His activities will be selfless activities for the well-being of others. He takes minimum but gives maximum back to the society. Such a person is called a Kshatriya, selflessly active. And the third variety is a Vaishya category. Here also Rajoguna is dominant, followed by Tamoguna, and Sattva is the least. So it is Rajoguna or then Tamoguna and Sattva Guna. In Kshatriyas is Rajoguna, then Sattva Guna and Tamoguna, or ST. Here it is RTS. Since Rajas is backed by Tamas, he will be active all right, but he will be selfishly active. In Rajoguna, he will be selflessly active. Here it is selfishly active, which may involve in telling lies, perhaps, double dealing, hypocrisy, corruption, all those things. Highly selfishly active person. Then the fourth category is the Shudra category. He is highly Tamapradhana, backed by Rajas and Sattva. So TRS. So the four groups are SRT, RST, RTS, and TRS. And remember, the division is not based on birth at all. We have to be very careful. It is based on one's guna. It is purely based on the gunas. So Guna Brahmana, Guna Kshatriya, Guna Vaishya, and Guna Shudra, as opposed to Jati Brahmana, Jati Kshatriya, all those things. So Krishna says, accordingly, these four people have been given four types of Swadharma. How a Guna Brahmana should be like that. That is what is said here in this shloka. Brahmana Kshatriya Visham Shudranancha. For all the four Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudras, Karmani Pravibhaktani. These have been distinctly prescribed, allotted. Pravibhaktam means allotment. Karmani. Karmani refers to the duties or even the profession, vocation, the one here should take. Based on what? Swabhava Prabhavaihi Gunaihi. Based on their gunas, which is dependent on their swabhava, their nature, their prakriti. So their nature, that indicates right from their previous janma, it has been coming. It is not just in this janma. And because of their swabhava or innate nature, particular gunas are predominant. And based on those gunas, duties have been prescribed. Therefore, swabhava prabhavair gunaihi pravibhaktani. Who has prescribed all of them? The Lord has prescribed through Veda, Shruti, because the Lord said, Chaturvarnyam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. I have created this division and I have created the duties for them also, karma. And what are those duties? He is going to enumerate in the following shlokas. We will read shloka 42. Shamo Damastapashaucham Kshantirarjavamevacha. Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Brahma Karma Swabhavajam. Here Krishna talks about Brahmana Karma, the duties of a Brahmana, a Guna Brahmana. The word Brahmana in the second line, that means Brahmanaha. It is a collective noun actually. Brahmana Samuhaha. That is the Brahmana Samuhaha. So all those. So Kshatriya Samuhaha is Kshatram. So Brahma means Brahmana Samuha, Kshatriya Samuha is Kshatram. And what are the duties prescribed by for a Brahmana Samuha? Shamaha. Shamaha means, we have seen actually in the Tattva Bodha itself, Shamakaha, Mano Nigraha, mind control. Person should have excellent mind control. And Damaha, Damaha is sense control. Here we can say, see the beauty actually. We studied that Shama, Dama, etc., they are Sadhana Chatushtaka Sampatti, specifically prescribed for Vedantic study. We have already seen that. Here we find for a Brahmana, whether he comes to study Vedanta or not, for him in ordinary life itself, the Shamadhamadis are prescribed. He should have mind control and sense control, even for leading a normal life according to his Swadharma. That is why if a Brahmana is a Brahmana as prescribed in the Shastra, he is directly qualified for Vedanta. So if he qualifies to be a Brahmana based on these qualities, then he is directly qualified for Vedanta. One need not specifically say that he should have Shama and Dhamma and all those things. He already is supposed to have that if he is a Guna Brahmana. Because for him to be a Brahmana itself, these are all required. In the case of other Varnas, when they want to study Vedanta, they will prescribe Shama Dhamadi Shatka Sampatti. Now we can imagine the burden to become a Brahmana. Don't look at the Varnas. Look at the Brahmana. For somebody to become a Guna Brahmana, what are the requirements? So his mind and sense should be controlled all the time. Then tapaha. Tapaha means discipline, particularly religious discipline. He can never indulge in any extra sense pleasures at all. Just as a brahmachari or a sannyasi, their life is supposed to be disciplined life, a brahmana, even if he is a grahastha, for him, pleasures, etc., are only minimum allowed. Therefore, tapaha. For him, taking to sannyasa ashrama is not difficult because already as a grahastha, he was as good as a sannyasi, foregoing all these pleasures. So, sense pleasures are not allowed for him. If at all, very minimum. So, tapaha. Then, shaucham. Shaucham is purity. Internal purity and external purity. This we have seen earlier. All these achara, anushtanas, they all come under shaucham. Purity only. Then, kshantihi. This also we have seen before. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantihi, arjavam, acharyopasanam, shaucham. So, refer to the 13th chapter. All those discussions. For additional notes on these words, we have given elaborate discussions on those during that time. So, kshantihi means kshama, forgiving nature, not getting irritated. A brahmana should not get angry at all. It is required of him. Arjavam, uprightness, honesty. We have seen actually again the 13th chapter also. Oneness of thought, the word, deed, that's a harmony. Harmony of thought, word and deed. No double personality at all. What he thinks, he speaks. What he speaks, he does. I praise not to flatter, but genuinely I praise. That is why in Manusmriti it is said, to a Brahmana, you need to say only the Vada, means speak. No need to say Satyam Vada to him. Whereas for others, one needs to say Satyam Vada. Because if he is a Guna Brahmana, whatever he speaks will be Satyam only. He cannot speak otherwise. So there is no need to tell him Satyam Vada. Whereas for others, it may not be so. Because one without these basic qualities is not a Brahmana at all. Imagine the Manu's concept of the four Varnas. Now people do not understand Manu's concepts and they blame him preferentially for glorifying Brahmana and all. To be a Brahmana according to Manu's prescription is very difficult. For Manu to accept someone as a Brahmana is so tough, not because he is born in a Brahmana family or anything. One has to have all those qualities. If a Brahmana is truthful and follows Shama, Dhamma, etc. all the time, what is wrong in glorifying such a person? That's what he did. So here the problem is what? We want the glory of a Brahmana, but we don't want to follow the values of a Brahmana. That is where problem comes. And so then on come all the problems to the extent the so-called the Janma Brahmanas are aborted by the society because they don't live like the Brahmana as expected of them. Then Jnanam means knowledge. He is dedicated for knowledge. He has nothing else to expect from anyone. So once he becomes a master, he becomes a teacher. That is adhyayanam and adhyapanam. He masters the scriptures, then he teaches them. Just the Vedic tradition is maintained and yajanam, yajanam, all that he does. According to Vedic prescription, he does rituals, puja, and he helps the other people also do the rituals. So we call that as priesthood perhaps. So all Brahmins are supposed to be priests in those days. There is nothing like a priestly Brahmin. All are supposed to be well-versed in those shastras and in the rituals. A Brahmin was a priestly class to maintain the Sanatana Vaidika Dharma. That's what they prescribed. Then Vijnanam. Here actually for Vijnanam we can give two interpretations. One, Jnanam means all other sciences except Vedanta. Like, you know, Dharma Jnanam, Mimamsa Jnanam, Tarka Jnanam, Vyakarana Jnanam, rituals, Jyotisha, all those things. All these Apara Vidya Jnanam, they come under Jnanam. Then another interpretation is, then what is Vijnanam? Vijnanam is Para Vidya Jnanam, is Vijnanam. So Apara Vidya Jnanam is Jnanam, and Para Vidya Jnanam is Brahma Jnanam, is Jnanam, Vijnanam. And another interpretation is, we can take Vedanta itself, Jnanam indicating Paroksha Jnanam and Vijnanam indicating Aparoksha Jnanam. In short, he studies the scriptures and lives the scriptures. Mere study is not difficult, but living the life as studied makes a person great. So Jnanam and Vijnanam. And that is why Purusha Suktam Brahmanaha Asya Mukham Asit. That Brahmano Asya Mukham Asit. He is the Mukham. He is the mouth of the Lord. Through the Brahmanas, the Lord speaks the Shastras, because he is the one who is supposed to have mastered the scriptures and who is eligible to teach the scriptures. Because Brahmana is supposed to speak only what the scriptures speak. And scriptures are the words of the Lord himself. And therefore, a Brahmana is considered the Mukham of the Lord. Then Astikyam, faith or Shraddha. In the Veda Pramanam, scriptures talk about lot of things which are not verifiable. Through our pratyakshadi pramanas, we cannot verify them. Whereas, whether a very ritual will give phalam or not, no one can scientifically prove those kinds of things. Because scriptures, they deal with a subject matter which is beyond the human perception and science. A Brahmana is one who accepts Veda Pramanyam. He accepts the authority of scriptures. If these rituals are meant to give the well-being to the world, he does those yajnas and all that thing for that benefit, which are meant to give prosperity, all those things. If he asks, how can a particular, you know, thing, yajna or something bring goodness to the country? We don't have any logic, but the scriptures say that this homa will bring rain, this japa will bring rain, this will remove disease. The scriptures say we believe. He has faith in them. Similarly, regarding Punarjanma, rebirth, Swarga, Naraka, all of them. He has faith in all of them, because not that he has gone there and seen them, but he believes in the scriptures. So even though it is beyond Pratyaksha Anumana Pramana, based on Shastra Pramanam only, he believes them. And Shraddha. Shraddha is one of the most important traits of a Brahmana. Minus Shraddha, he cannot be called Brahmana at all. And so then Astikyam, Asti iti bhavaha is Astikyam. The faith that whatever is said in the Vedas are there, they are true. Asti, Asti. All these are Brahma Karma, the jobs of a Brahmana. Which means he cannot devote his life for anything else. Scriptural study is not easy. Veda is voluminous. Tarka, Vyakarana, they are all vast. So study the language, the original scriptures, the commentaries, all of them. His life has to be dedicated, and so scriptures do not prescribe any other karma for a Brahmana. The entire life is only studying, teaching and following rituals. He need not have to go to office and work like a Vaishya, a Shudra or any of those. He need not defend the country like a Kshatriya. He need not do the job of a Shudra also. His whole life is dedicated to the study of scriptures and teaching them and following the discipline of scriptures, provided he is a Brahmana. Understand that. That is very important. The being born in a Brahmana family doesn't entitle him to do that unless he is a Guna Brahmana. So, Brahma Karma Swabhavajam. Will it not be monotonous and boring if you ask? No entertainment, nothing for him at all. 24 hours studying, teaching and following anushtanas. That is why Krishna says, Swabhavajam. He is Sattva Guna Pradhanaha, and so he will be contented with that. He will be happy. He will not miss any such thing at all like other pleasures. Because taste for entertainment, etc., they increase when Rajoguna increases. See two more videos, two more cinemas, all those things if it is only Rajoguna Pradhana. But for this Brahmana, a simple thatched hut, a notebook or book are good enough. Because he is sattvic. and who is ever contented. That is why Krishna says, Swabhavajam, it is his Swabhava karma. This is a karma which is innate, it is natural for such a Brahmana. Shloka 43. Shauryam tejo dhritirdhakshyam yuddhe chaapyapalayanam danam ishvara bhavascha kshatram karma swabhavajam. Now incidentally, Krishna does not mention that thing here. We can add, even the type of ahara, food prescribed for a brahmana that was suited to this quiet study. No rajasic or tamasic food, no meat, drinks, alcohol, all the habits, because any of them is supposed to stimulate the mind and it will crave for pleasures. So all the sattvic food which contributed to the brain development but not much to the body development, they were only prescribed. He needed health but not too much of physical strength. And he cannot also, because tapas means what? He has to do lot of rituals, lot of adherence to practice, vratam and all that. Whereas here comes a kshatriya who cannot follow brahmana discipline right from food. He has to build up. He had to learn weaponry. Cannot blindly follow ahimsa like a brahmana. When time comes, he should be able to even kill a person, which requires a strong inner heart. Compassion too much will not work for a kshatriya. Therefore, he develops his body, eats accordingly, is allowed to even eat meat, drinks, entertainment, all those things, because protecting the country requires lot of tension. Naturally, he needs lot of relaxation. Pleasures are allowed for him. Because what is his duty? Shauryam. Firstly, he must be a suraha. Suraha means a brave warrior. He must be ever ready to die or kill for dharma, bravery, courage. Then tejaha. Tejaha means strength, splendor, courage. That's our inner quality. Tejaha is outer physical quality. So one should be courageous and also well-built, strong. So then dhritihi. Dhritihi means willpower, firmness. And dakshyam, he has to have skill, dexterity, diplomacy, strategic moves, all he should plan during warfare in running the country. Then yuddhe cha api apalayanam, not running away from battle. He should stand steadfast. A kshatriya should not run, turn his back in the battlefield at all. Then danam, for a kshatriya, possessions were allowed. Big palace, all the money from the prajas, etc. he received. For him, money was allowed. Immediately the scriptures prescribe also danam. One should not use the money for one's own purpose. All these, you know, CDs, fixed deposit, that and all that thing, it must be for the well-being of the society. For a brahmana, danam was not mentioned. For him, pratigraha, receiving danam, is his dharma. He is supposed to receive danam, should receive only genuine for causes, danams. Also, he should receive only if he does not earn. This for a brahmana. Now, they earn so much, but not give danam. That's a problem. They bring the old rule that a Brahman say they want to earn so much, but when it comes to giving, they bring the old rule. A Brahmana need not have to give. Brahmanas are the least givers generally in many times. Of course, I make all these statements in a very light way, so don't take me seriously. They learn very well that my Sattvaguna is there. For a Kshatriya, giving danam is his dharma. The Ishvara Bhavascha. Ishvara Bhavascha means Prabhutvam, leadership, to guide the country. All these are Kshatram Karma, actions of a Kshatriya. And for him, too much Shama, Dhamma, etc. are not told. Sense control, mind control, ego is allowed for a Kshatriya. Anger is allowed. All are indications of Rajoguna. That is why Krishna says Swabhavajam. Otherwise, a king cannot punish the guilty. He has to get angry also, because he has to establish dharma. So if someone criticizes him, immediately he will feel insulted and so he will react. So all those things he will do. Because of what? Because of Rajoguna. Not only that, this Rajoguna is supported by Sattva. We have to understand, for a Kshatriya it is the SRT has become RST, Rajoguna, Sattvaguna and Tamoguna. So he will work hard. Still, selfishness will not be there for a Kshatriya. Whatever he gets, he will dedicate to the country. He will not feel like enjoying them only for himself. He will be a service-minded person, a true well-wisher of the country. Only when the Vaishya type of people become rulers, the country will be ruined mostly. They come only to fill up their coffers. Shloka 44. Krishi gaurakshya vanijyam Vaishya karma swabhavajam Paricharyatmakam karma Shudrasyapi swabhavajam. In this shloka, Vaishya karma and Shudra karma are both mentioned. And what is Vaishya karma? Krishi, Gaurakshyam and Vanijyam. Krishi means cultivation. Cultivation of crops or agriculture, they are called Krishi. And Gaurakshyam means protecting the cows. In those days, cow represented wealth. So protecting the cow means protecting the wealth of the country. That's what they were doing. Then Vanijyam. Vanijyam means trade, commerce, business. So exchange of material from one place to the another. All these jobs are given to Vaishyas. And in this process, the society will benefit. And he will get the profit also. You exchange and get the profit out of that. Don't make too much. Hoarding is also not good. Black market, all those things are not allowed. They are not considered to be dharmic. So, and certainly this involves some money making, definitely. And so they said that Vaishyas must do lot of service to society by building temples, by chowtries, all those things. They were prescribed for them. And that becomes some kind of prayaschittam for the evil deed in business. In business, there may be so much of deeds. All dharmic business, 100% to do also is difficult. Because they may have to adopt certain practices. This is done as a prayaschitta. They built temples. They did this, all those good things, chowtries. So, these are the Vaishya karmas. And Shudrasyabhi karma paricharyatmakam. Shudra's job is supporting or serving the other three varnas. Because all the other three require manpower, labor, agriculture, business, etc. require labor class. Brahmana also requires labors to do the yajna and all. So the unskilled labor that is done by Shudras. Why we give him only unskilled labor? Because he does not have skills. Why does he does not have skills? Because tamoguna pradana. Again it comes to guna. So it will be tamoguna, nothing to do with birth. So he is never asked to choose or decide. Only final commandment should be given to him. Do this or do that. So, paricharyatmakam karma shudrasya swabhavajam. And everywhere swabhavajam is there. That is dependent on their character. Very important. It is dependent on their guna only. Then, that is why in Purush Sukta it is said, brahmanosya mukamasit bahurajan nyakritaha. So, kshatriya stands for bahu. Bahu means the hands. Just as the hands stand for depending a person for self-protection. Bang. Hands are used for self-protection of a person. So, kshatriyas are the arms of the society. That is why weapons are also called arms. You call weapons are arms. They are there to protect. And uru tadasya yad vaishyaha. Vaishyas are like the thighs of the society. Keeping them strong, the society. And padbhyagum shudro ajayata. The feet are compared to the shudras, which take all the other part of the body. Someone said, why you call a shudra at the feet? Such a lowly thing. No, if you think feet are the lowly thing, you cut it, then you will know what it means. All movements are made possible only because of the feet. Without the feet, a society cannot move. When these comparisons were made, they were so no inferiority or superiority. One should be very careful. That is why in puja to the Lord also, we offer flowers, etc. at the feet. The idea is four different functions, all of which are equally important. Where the problem happened was what? In those days, perhaps, a person's guna and janma tallied long, long, long ago. We may not even remember perhaps what time. The guna of a person and his janma, they tallied. A person born in a brahmana family was truly a brahmana also. But over time that all changed. When Kshatriya's son was born, he was a jati kshatriya also. And because of heredity, he had also kshatriya guna. Good in warfare, being a king, all those things he was doing, ruler. Both of them, they tallied. The birth and the guna. So right from janma itself, he took Kshatriya karma. and the Brahmin son was a Jati Brahmana, and by being a Jati Brahmana, he had perhaps the Guna Brahmanyam also. So he could take to Brahmana Karma. But at some time in history, some Varna Samskar, Sankarat, must have taken place. Varna Sankara, you know, Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said in the very first chapter. So Varna Sankara might have taken place where Brahmana Putra, you know, sometime they became even worse than even Shudras. And Shudra Putra, sometimes he became a great Brahmana-like Putra. All type of confusions took place. Who should take what karma? All those confusions took place, and because by Janma he happened to be one, by Guna he happened to be another, all these confusions arose. Now it is very, very difficult to say who is who. There is no Brahmana, no Kshatriya, no Vaishya according to what is defined in the scriptures at all. That is why we cannot prescribe duties anymore to any of them. We only say whatever duties you take, do it properly and sincerely. There is no such division possible in these days at all, because all those things have changed. Shloka 45. Sve sve karmanya bhirataha samsiddhim labate naraha swakarma swakarma nirata siddham yatavindati tachrunu. Now Krishna, he emphasizes the importance of swadharma. So all the four karmas are very, very important. For example, Brahmana karma is becoming very weak. Priests are becoming less. After some time, Vedic culture might go away at all. Similarly, Kshatriya karma is important. Otherwise, there will be no peace at all. Vaishya karma is very important. And also Shudra karma. So all karmas are equally important. So Krishna says, let nobody feel inferior about his karma. Let everyone be proud of his karma and let everyone wholeheartedly do his karma or her karma. Because here Krishna makes a very, very important point. The goal of all people is moksha, regardless of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The goal is moksha for all of them. And moksha requires what? Chitta Shuddhi. So the immediate goal is Chitta Shuddhi. The ultimate goal is moksha or jnanam for all people. Everyone wants freedom and peace of mind, happiness. So true universally, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, doesn't matter. Everybody wants peace. So we have only two goals. Immediate goal is Chitta Shuddhi. Ultimate goal is Jnanam or Moksha. So here Krishna says, any type of karma, swadharma, properly done will give Chitta Shuddhi. Therefore, no one needs to change the profession for the sake of Chitta Shuddhi. Let Shudra or Vaishya or Kshatriya do their karma only and attain Chitta Shuddhi through Swadharma. Because it is not the type of karma that gives Chitta Shuddhi. Suppose it is only Brahmana karma alone gives Chitta Shuddhi. Then what will happen? Everyone has to come to be a Brahmana. So Krishna says, it is not a type of karma that gives Chitta Shuddhi, but it is the way of doing karma that gives Chitta Shuddhi. And he says, Sve sve karmani abhirataha. Abhirataha means fully engaged, involved, committed. In what? Sve sve karmani. In each one's respective swadharma. That is, a brahmana in brahmana karma. Kshatriya in kshatriya karma. Naraha samsiddhyam labate. A person attains chitta shuddhi. Samsiddhi means chitta shuddhi. Samsiddhi is not moksha here. Because karma will not give moksha. We have to be careful. One has to go to a guru. And then he has to do shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam and all those things. All those things we should remember. So by doing one's duty, a person can attain chitta shuddhi. Swakarma nirataha. Yata siddham vindati tachruno. Now the question comes, how can a person attain purity by remaining in swadharma? Swadharma, swakarma nirataha means swadharma nirataha. So how can a person attain purity by remaining in swadharma? Because what could be the doubt? Different actions produce different results. For example, walking and eating have two different results. So if different people do different types of karma, phalam also must be different. How do you say that all people should do their own duty, but phalam is same, namely Chitta Shuddhi? Does it seem to be illogical? That question might come. That is anybody's doubt. Therefore, yatha swakarma nirataha siddhim vindati tashruno. that I will tell you now. You hear that method, I will talk to you now how you can get, depend whatever may be the karma you do, you can get Chitta Shuddhi. And in the following shlokas, Krishna will tell that it is not the karma that produces the phalam. If karma produces the phalam, different karmas will produce different phalam. Correct? But the karma is to be done as a yoga. And it is this yoga attitude that gives the result, and the attitude is uniform in all. Whatever may be your karma, your attitude should be same. Even though karma is different, the attitude should be uniform. And what is that attitude? We have already talked about it earlier. Ishvara, Arpana Buddhi, Yajna Buddhi, Samarpana Buddhi, Puja Buddhi. That is, do any action as an offering to the Lord, Ishvara Arpanam, or as an Yajna, as a sacrifice, or as a Samarpanam, as an offering to the Lord, as a Puja. Do every karma with that attitude. That is common to all the four varnas. They can be born in any varna, does not matter. Let them do any work that they are doing, does not matter. But whatever work they do, but according to, led by Dharma Shastra, we should be careful. Not any work, a work that is in accordance with Dharma. So whatever they do does not matter. But if their attitude, that should be, if it is this attitude, Ishvara Arpana Buddhi or Yajna Buddhi or Samarpana Buddhi, Puja Buddhi, whatever it is, that is common to all of them. Therefore, the palam also is common. The palam is not based on the karma. Palam is based on the attitude with which that karma is performed. So Krishna will talk about karma yoga in the following shlokas to sum up this idea. We have dealt with karma yoga in detail earlier, but 18th chapter being a summary chapter of whatever was discussed earlier, he is going to talk about karma yoga also in this chapter as a summing up of whatever was talked earlier in the next few shlokas that we will see in the next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yappara samaheshwarah Shri Krishna arpanamastu Narayana. Okay.